Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, I have a question for you, and you don't know.
I rarely know.
You don't know what question I'm going to ask, but I was thinking about it today, and this is a well, Matt, that's a little more serious.
Okay.
Do you ever have, and I'm going to go first because you don't know I'm asking this, so you need a second to think about your answer because this is an important question, and these are important answers.
Yeah.
Do you ever have times in your life, I was thinking about this today, do you ever have times in your life where you're sitting there and you're thinking, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Mm. Like, am I in the lane I'm supposed to be in? Am I doing all I can be doing? But am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I where I am supposed to be?
Yeah. And do I? Sure.
Yeah. So I was, and while I was thinking that today, I thought, you know, every season in my life, I can think back and this question danced around in my head often.
Yeah.
Not every day, not all the time, but I would have moments of like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And so here is a way that I have circumvented. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, that's great.
Here is a way that I have just dealt with that question, because sometimes I think that question also breeds some feelings of like lacking, of maybe I'm not being used to my fullest potential.
Right.
Maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm missing it.
Right.
And here's how I have combated that is I slow my thoughts down and I look around my life and I say, what's in front of me?
Mm-hmm.
What's being presented to me? Mm-hmm. What opportunities are coming my way? And am I saying no to everything? Am I being thoughtful with my yeses, thoughtful with my noes? Because I believe that those are the things that kind of guide and direct us,
right.
Especially if we are in a faith framework. We're praying, you know, God, do with my life what you would have done.
Right.
And he can do anything.
Right.
We believe he can do anything. So he can bring past us opportunities, thoughts, ideas, jobs, hobbies that lead us to other things. Mm-hmm. So instead of having the mindset of maybe I've missed something somewhere, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I look at it and I say, what's being presented to me?
Right.
What's in front of me?
Right.
What are my opportunities right here, right now? And what are some things that I can pursue if that is an interest or a love of mine?
Yeah.
And then it just settles me down in my thinking that I'm not somehow missing the mark of what I'm supposed to be doing in my life.
You kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago on your Instagram, where it was like, what's God's will for my life? You know, and you referenced our faith framework. I think we both grew up in a culture where it was like, what's God's will? What's God's will? And it was this pressure to find that one thing that you're supposed to do for your whole life. And I think for me, that thinking has shifted a little bit, because I think, you know, if I think about what God has asked us to do, if we're subscribing to a faith structure, if I think about what God's asked me to do, it is to love him and love people. And I believe, now maybe some people would disagree with me, but I believe the other thing God's asked me to do and the appointed roles that I have are to be a good husband and a good dad.
Yeah, right.
And that's what God's really asked me to do. Everything else is just kind of like it's peripheral, but it's important because I think, you know, we want to have jobs that feel fulfilling.
Yes.
And we want to know that we're being used in a positive way with our gifts and our talents. And I think for me, when I think about that, I agree with you. It's what am I doing right now? And what opportunities am I leveraging right now in my scope of influence?
Right.
Because the reality is you really can't do anything you want and be anything that you want and make everything in your life happen.
And I can't go back to age 30
right.
and say, I wish that I would have done this instead of that, because then I could have been this. And I think that is where we can really feed and water discontentment mm-hmm. of like, I missed something.
Right.
I don't think that we, especially adhering to what I believe God's principles and, mm-hmm. and what my faith walk is, I don't think I'm going to miss anything if he doesn't want me to miss it.
I agree.
I think if I was supposed to do it at 35 and I somehow missed it, there ain't no reason he can't bring it right back around at 56.
Right.
56. I'm 56.
I know. It's our 56. First one.
Yep.
You know, I think for me, when I think about that mindset shift, I think when I was a teenager, I was like, God, what's your will for my life?
Right.
I would pray for God's will.
And it needs to be something big. Like, I need to be like leading teen missions in the outbacks of some
Australia.
Third world country.
Yeah, but I think really my prayers have shifted as I've gotten older from, God, what's your will for my life? Into when opportunities do come, it's often, God, if you don't want me to do this,
correct.
Shut the door.
Correct.
And so I think that's a little bit of a shift, because I think for me, and maybe this is a little woo-woo, but I think we do have a responsibility to pursue things. You know, we do have a responsibility to chase after ideas and dreams.
Right.
But I also don't think there's this magical formula. I think
Which part was woo-woo?
Just like that it's not this magic thing.
Yeah,
it's like, hey,
yes,
if God,
exactly.
For our family, often what we've prayed is, God, if it's not your will, shut it. And if it is your will, keep opening the door. So we kind of keep taking opportunities.
Listen, I've done that with girls in my boy's life. I've been like, Lord, if this is the person for our either one of our boys, I pray that you would make it so. And if it's not, out the door.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
like I don't want to spend time.
Not really. Not,
no,
you know
I know what
I
mean.
You mean.
I don't want to spend time doing something that God really doesn't want me to do.
And you don't want to be with people that you're not supposed to be with. You don't want to be in a role that looks great from the outside. And then you get, listen, we've all either heard stories close to us or we've been in it where something looks very mm-hmm. wonderful on mm-hmm. the outside. And then you get down underneath it, you get inside it and you're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I'll give you a good example. And it's great. What I do is great. And I love it. It's just not what you think
what
it is.
Think, yeah.
Is and you've experienced this because you've gone with me before to television. Yeah. So often people think that television is like glitzy and glammy and like just this setting that's very posh and mm-hmm. upscale. A lot of times these buildings look like warehouses.
Yeah.
They look like
a garage.
Even when I went to Guys Grocery Games, mm-hmm. nobody knew that the building was actually Guys Grocery Games, because it was in this big office complex, like where a bunch of warehouses and mm-hmm. offices were. And from the outside, it did not look like Flavortown.
Right.
It did not.
It was just a warehouse.
And then we got there and you know, you think to yourself, you're going to be in this green room and they're mm-hmm. going to be delivering Don Perignon, like little
truffles,
little finger sandwiches. They take you literally to a camper, like a pull behind camper that sits outside of the warehouse, and they don't want you intermingling with a bunch of different people that are there.
Yeah.
So they put you in this camper with the people that I was competing against, mm-hmm. which was three other people, were in a camper, like waiting until our handler, like somebody comes and gets you because they don't
want
you wandering around.
So the four of you
around.
Just sat there?
Sat there waiting.
Wow.
And then wardrobe comes in and they say, show me what you're about to wear, or show me what you're wearing. Mm-hmm. You stand up, you turn around, they're like, you're fine. You need a different shirt. You know, and then they take you in and there you are. Like, and luckily at the time that I went, there were several different shows. And that's another thing people don't think about. Mm-hmm. There were several different shows being shot on the same, like at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's different slots for, you know, different episodes. So there were probably 30 people there. There were probably 30 of us. They got us all together in this group, and Guy came and spoke to all 30 of us, and he went around and asked different people, and I was one of them. He just singled me out and said, you know, why do you want to do this show? Why are you here? Mm-hmm. And the answer I gave, and he said, oh, you know, and he has kids. The answer I gave was, you know, my husband and I can raise our boys to face their fears and to go mm-hmm. for it and to stretch outside their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But the very best way that I believe I can teach them is also to do it myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I said, so I'm nervous. I'm scared. Yeah. This is stretching me. I can't believe I'm here, because, you know, I was in a group of people that one of them was trained in England and like a pastry chef. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were all highly trained. I have not been highly trained in cooking. I mean, now, if you ask my mother, she would probably say I've been highly trained by her, but I have not gone to culinary school.
Right.
And so I remember, so they had us in this big group. He talks to us, and he shared some of his story, which was so good. Mm-hmm. And the part that I totally remember was when he was leaving for the next Food Network star, because we forget that that's how Guy started, as he was the next Food Network winner star of the first or second, like one of the first seasons of that show. And he had, you know, bleached blonde spiky hair. He wore cargo shorts and flip-flops. And he said he was walking down his driveway, and he calls his dad his old man. Mm-hmm. And he said, and the old man came out and said, hey, and called him back and said, and he, you know, got him by the shoulders and basically said, don't let this change who you are. Stay who you are.
Yeah.
And then he went into, everybody here needs to stay who you are, be who you are, because if you try to fake it here, it will not go well for you.
Right.
And I tell you what, like, I have thought of that so many different times on different opportunities with mm-hmm. TV, like, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Do not pretend to know. And if you're asked a question and you think you know, and you could exaggerate that mm-hmm. knowledge, don't do it. Say, I don't know. No, I think it could be this, but I don't know.
Right.
Because people really actually appreciate that more than they do somebody that acts like a know-it-all, and mm-hmm. really maybe the information they're giving isn't completely accurate anyway.
Right.
So we went from that little meeting of 30 back to the camper, and then they came to get us when it was our time to compete. And literally, like, people think like you're pre-prepped. Oh no, you're standing on a line. Yeah. And he's like, this is going to be what we're going to do. I'm going to count 3, 2, 1, go. And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're given your challenge and you run. And, you know, again, those type situations, I've thought, you know, did I do my best? Did mm-hmm. I give it all? Did I give everything I have? Am I supposed to be doing more of that? You know, and I don't think it's bad to ask yourself that question.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think too, people do think there's a level of like, when you're in it, it's not everything it is. So I think sometimes we desire for certain things. We've had this conversation 100 times. You know, we think, man, wouldn't it be cool to have these opportunities?
XYZ,
but what we don't know mm-hmm. is that person doesn't sleep in their bed ever.
Right.
Or what we don't know is that they have a strained relationship with their family because they're never home.
Right, right.
Or that, you know, it causes them so much stress or anxiety that it's affected their health. You know, we don't know all that stuff.
Right,
and so I think sometimes when we dream and we pursue opportunities, you know, because I struggle with this every now and then, is we can get so discontent with what's in front of us, but I think at times God's actually protecting us from certain things that maybe we can't handle.
Yes.
Or maybe it's not the plan for us.
And maybe it's just not best for us.
Right.
You know, we talked about
maybe it's not best for the people that are doing it, but you don't know them well enough to know if it is or not. You know what I mean?
And really, that ain't none of your business.
That's right.
You know, and we talked about this the other day. We haven't said our good days yet. I'm
going
to say my good day real quick. My good day was celebrating my birthday with you and Mal and Remy and Kat. The boys were with your mom in South Carolina, so they weren't there. And then Carlos and Heather and Losiah and Daryl. And we just were all around the table. It was so fun. That was my good day. And that morning, I told them and I told you all is that I love my life.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, you know, it probably has come with some age and maturity, but it's also come from even discussions with people like you. And recently I had a discussion with our youngest son, Joey, and he said something that I thought was so good. And I have referenced it several times since he said it. And I will share it with you because maybe this exercise would be good for you. Is if I'm feeling with maybe I should be doing this or that, maybe I'm not doing enough, maybe I should be doing more, maybe I'm not supposed to be, maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be. He said to me, Mom, he was dealing with a disappointment.
Yeah.
And he said, Mom, if I would have written a list 5 years ago of all of the things I would want in 5 years, I am living that list.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is how I feel. I am living my list. I remember one time saying to my assistant, Jenny, wouldn't it be awesome if sometimes, I mean, wouldn't it be like a dream if sometimes we could do remotes from home, from the farmhouse? What are we doing now?
Yeah. You do that regularly. Yeah.
Remotes from home.
Right.
And so I think it's good to revisit some of the things we have wished for. And if we're living some of those things now and say, oh, Yeah, this is good. My life is good.
Absolutely. So what would you say to the person that struggles with this, that says, oh man, am I doing what I should be doing? You know, am I in the right career? Should I be pursuing more? What are some things that you would say to them where you're like, okay, let this ease your mind?
Okay.
You know,
I have three.
Okay.
The first one is if there is something that you know that's pressing on you that you know you need to change in your life, like, you know, like I need to start moving my body 5 times a week.
Yeah.
I need to start journaling. I need to switch my job because my boss is toxic.
Right.
If there are things you know you need to change, then start taking the steps to do them. If you need to talk to a mentor, a life coach, a counselor, do it and start making movement toward that. The second thing is think about a few years ago, 3 to 5 years ago. Are you leaving out some of the things that are on your list? Because I promise that will cultivate some contentment and some gratitude in your life. And then the third thing is what's being presented in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, if you have an opportunity to do something you've always done, please do not let fear go, I would love to do that, but here are all the reasons I can't.
Right.
You know, and then have regret.
Right.
So those are my three. What about you?
I think for me, if there's someone in that situation, I would be curious to know what's holding them back. So what's deterring you from making a change? Mm-hmm. But what I would suggest, and I think this is important, is look for little opportunities to start somewhere.
Oh, so yeah, that's good.
Often we think
it has to be big.
We
first.
Think I'm going
to
write a book.
Yes. Well, maybe
if you don't have a blog, are you going to write a book? If you don't write for a newspaper or you know, so what I would say to somebody is the opportunities that you do have in front of you.
Yes.
So whatever that looks like for you, you know, if let's use TV since we've talked about that. You know, you had an opportunity to go on Fox 8 News, and you've been doing that in Cleveland for...
Since 2008 for that station.
Yeah.
But before that station, a lot of people don't realize I started on Channel 3 first with Fred Griffith. Remember him?
Yeah, I remember him.
You remember him from your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
The Morning Exchange. So yeah. I started with Fred Griffith first. That's where I blew up a glass pan in front of the Girl Scouts taking the tour. I put the pan on the wrong burner that I didn't realize was on.
Oh,
it was
an
electric.
Funny.
And I blew that glass blew up everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, girls, this is what you don't do. And science, shout out to our friend, Eric Heller, the science teacher. You put glass on heat, it explodes.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
And then from Channel 3, I got invited to go to Channel 5.
Yeah.
So I was at Channel 5 for a little while. And then I met Kenny Crumpton at the IX Center at an event in 2008. And he said, why aren't you on our morning show?
Yeah.
And so since 2008,
that's awesome.
16 years.
So you've been at this for 19 years total.
Mm-hmm, total.
And so I think what I would say to someone who feels this angst or this like discord in their heart is the opportunities that are in front of you, you got to take them. Because here's the reality. If you would have said in 2005, Leanne Miller is running a bed and breakfast, home cooking for maybe 20 to 30 people a week at the bed and breakfast and running a restaurant. If you would have said, oh, I'm going to be on a Food Network show someday.
Oh,
and you just waited for that to happen,
right,
it probably wouldn't have happened.
Right, right.
However, the little things that came across your path, like Channel 3, Channel 5,
yes,
now Fox 8 for yes, the last 16 years, you know, those little things that come across your path, I think you have to say yes, yes to those,
because
they become yes, like your training ground.
Yes.
You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes. They build into more yeses in different areas for different opportunities.
Absolutely. So I think you have to say yes mm-hmm, to mm-hmm, things. Your heart and mm-hmm, your mind might mm-hmm, say, I'm ready for this big thing, but it doesn't often work like that.
Yes.
Often you say the little yeses and it becomes your training ground
yes,
and you build skills that you don't get when you just go right to the big dream.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And to your point, you know, and I've seen people do that, take this path, and I think it's so healthy. It's so good. I want to be a writer.
Well, right.
You know, go to a writing seminar.
Right.
Go to a writing retreat. You know, 4 years ago, I was like, I want to be more intentional and to learn more about how to do social media and Instagram. So I
right,
went to a, you know, and you went to it too. And it wasn't, it cost money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was
totally,
not, it was the most I'd ever invested in myself before.
Right.
And I went to a retreat that focused on, you know, niching down mm-hmm, how to do Instagram, how to do stories, how to be more intentional on social media. I couldn't just say, I want to be more intentional on social media and
right,
just
right,
throw, you know, you can throw spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah, totally.
But if you can leverage some things that will help kind of accelerate the process for you, like a writing seminar, like a Instagram retreat, those things really do
right,
have value, especially if you get paired with the right one.
Right. And here's the other thing. In the day and age of social media and digital communication that we live in, there is no reason why you couldn't mm-mm, start reaching out to mm-hmm, people that are further along
than
you. You might get 9 no's, but you might get 1 yes.
It's so true.
And you never know how that network could impact your future.
Yes.
So
here's your sign. If you've been thinking, you know, I really should do XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
I really should pursue this. I really should think about going to that person's writing seminar to do it, to
right,
sign up for it, to sign up for the extra classes, for whatever training you need. You know,
here's what I'm hearing you say too, though. This takes work.
Yes.
And I think sometimes,
yes,
you know, we're all guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
We want stuff to just mm-hmm, fall in our lap
yes,
and like it just to be so easy.
Yes.
And often there's struggle behind the scenes.
Yes.
And I think when you see the TV shows, the perfect example, when you see someone on a TV show, you think, oh my word, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I just want Oprah to call me tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
Like
yes,
that's not exactly yes, how it works.
I heard someone famous say once that someone referred to her as an overnight success.
Mm.
And she's like, I was not an overnight mm-hmm, success. I worked 15 years in a role that was not as
prestigious.
Yes. And not as visible. But everything I was doing behind the scenes set
right,
the stage for what I'm doing now, but I was not an overnight success.
Right.
And the other day, I was talking to our youngest son, Joey. He has been working so hard mm-hmm, in the commercial real estate space in Columbus and again, had a disappointment. You know, that business is full of high highs and low lows.
Yes.
Had a big disappointment. And I said, you know, honey, and this is the truth, and this is for all of us. I said, you are going to have these low lows and you're going to have high highs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to sail through the high highs.
Mm-hmm.
But the low lows are the making of a man.
Yeah, that's true.
They're the making of a man.
That's true.
So you are going to be 25 and you are becoming a man.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm,
a man now, but you are still the making of a man.
Mm-hmm.
So how you deal with this disappointment?
Right.
Is making you. It's
right,
making you who you're becoming.
100%.
And, you know, I think we have to think about those things. We have to think about how we handle the disappointments. We have
mm-hmm,
to think about how we handle all the success and the wonder and the wonderful things.
Right.
Because I do think that there are people that don't celebrate success well.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that when they celebrate your success, you're like, why did it happen to them?
Yes.
Because they don't celebrate it well.
Absolutely.
And then there are people who do not lose well.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Or the losses mm-hmm, are not handled well.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I think both of them are important
yeah,
how you navigate
absolutely,
that. What's your good day?
Well, hey, let's talk about our good days. Let's.
I did mine.
I know, but I want. Okay. I want a little more.
Okay.
I think this is a great discussion. And I think there's some nuggets in here of like where to get started. You know, sign up for a class. Say yes to opportunities, volunteer in something in the lane that you're looking for, you know, apprentice someone, offer to like take someone out to lunch. You know, those little things are what lead us to the big things.
Yeah, that's true.
So, hey, can you elaborate on your good day? Because you didn't tell us.
Okay,
much.
All right. So Heather and Carlos Whitaker and Losiah came, their son Losiah came to celebrate my birthday weekend. It was so sweet. Heather walked in the door with just very intentional gifts for me for my birthday, which...
And she had little crowns.
Oh, it was
and
just...
decorations.
Yeah. And when they came in with the decorations, my back was to them and I heard a noise and I turned around and they had kazoos and birthday crowns and stuff. I literally screamed and I like jumped. I jumped
That's
and screamed.
So funny.
It scared me.
Yeah.
You know, Daryl doesn't, Dee does not do those kinds of festivities. So I was not prepared. And you know... It's so important to have friends that celebrate you because it does feel good.
Yeah.
I don't require it. I really don't. You know that I don't. I mean, I'm not. In fact, when you're like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to have a meal around our table. Come to our house and let's just have a meal. So I had several people DM me on Instagram saying Matt got his promised fish fry because they noticed the fish and they noticed the French fries on the table.
Yeah.
And we did cheeseburgers and we did a big, you and Mallory brought the Olive Garden dupe.
Oh, so good.
Olive Garden salad that's like the hack of that. Mm-hmm. It was so, the bowl, it was in a beautiful bowl. It was so delicious. And then you called me the day before and said, okay, I'll bring the birthday cake, but you have to specifically tell me.
I want to know what you want.
And I said, anything. And you're like, no, this is important.
This is important
stuff. So basically I wanted white cake. I just wanted a white cake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it, I love the inexpensive fake grocery store frosting. I love that kind, but I also love the real buttercream.
Right.
Like your mother's buttercream is on her,
on
her cupcakes are, it's unbelievable. So I'm like either one. And so you all brought me an incredible birthday cake with this really crazy candle that was really
so
amazing.
Fun.
It was fascinating and awesome and fun and also a little scary when you lit it. It was like, oh my
gosh.
And
it spun really fast.
Yeah, it was fun. That was my good day.
It said, happy birthday, Joy Scout.
It did. Because
you're the OG Joy Scout.
What?
You're always looking for joy.
It was a fun time. Yeah, it was great.
It was a great time.
Okay, what about you?
Here's mine. Our last week, our boys went to visit their cousins for one last summer. Hurrah.
I loved that whole thing.
I know. It was my mom's. Well, I don't know if it was her idea, but the boys kind of teasingly said, Grammy, we want to go with you and see the cousins. And my mom, you know, bless her, because that's courageous to take two boys with you by yourself to South Carolina. So she took the boys to South Carolina so that they could celebrate one of the cousins' birthday. They were there for a little church program that they put on at their church. They played. They went to they went bowling. I don't think they've ever went bowling with them before.
So good.
They just did fun things like that.
I knew it was something big for them is I walked in your door one night. I stopped in here and I walked in the door and Luca was beeline in front of me and said, Yaya, guess what? We're going on our very own vacation with Grammy B to visit the cousins in South Carolina. They had their bags by the door. I think they were packed. They were packed and ready.
They were packed
ahead.
Like 2 days
ahead. And then Remy piped up and said, I'm getting, it was cute. She didn't say it snarky. If I sound snarky when I'm imitating her, she wasn't being snarky. She was being adorable. She said, I'm getting my own vacation with my mom and dad here at home.
Yeah.
And so she did fun things with you guys. Mm-hmm. It was great. I'm sorry.
So
I'm taking over your good day.
So it was so fun because, you know, I think it's important to do things with your kids by themselves.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yes.
And so I was working. So Mallory and Remy planned things during the day. And then at night, I thought of a couple funny things, like special things that I wanted to do with
Remy
too.
Like out of the ordinary? Like what were...
One of them was I asked her where she wanted to go for dinner, if she wanted to go on a date with me and mommy. And she wanted to make spaghetti. for dinner at home. And so Mallory and her mom has a spaghetti recipe that she got passed around when she worked.
That needs to be shared with us, with the world.
It's good. So, you know what's so sweet is Mallory and Remy went shopping for it, and then my mother-in-law Pam came over and they made her special spaghetti sauce together. And then that night, I told Mallory and Remy when it was bedtime, I said, okay, I need you guys to go put on your pajamas and get in bed and pick a short show in Mommy and Daddy's bed. Oh, and they were like, okay. So I got a little, it was not fancy. In a 9x13 pan, I put some little dishes of ice cream with sprinkles and hot fudge. And I took it up and we had a little bit of ice cream in bed before we went to bed. So that was fun. It's like little things like that.
Yes.
So the funny thing is the next night, I had something at school. We had a meeting at night for, school started. So we had a meeting at night. So I was at school till about 7 o'clock and Mallory texted me at 6:30 and said, so Remy just said, I wonder what dessert dad is bringing home when he comes home for us.
Cute.
So I went through McDonald's and got them a McFlurry and took it home. And so, it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just fun stuff like that they remember.
Our kids just want our presence and
100%
presence, not as in gifts, but our person,
like being around. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, let's talk about food. Come on.
Oh, sorry. Let's talk about food.
Okay. I know what I want to say. I'm going to not say it. I'm not going to say it super, super long. It's going to not take me long, but I love at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. Heather and I went there. Every time guests come in town,
it's one of your stops.
It's one of my stops. So we stopped there because she wanted a little snacky snack. And first of all, they have several different variety of Ritz. They have the garlic Ritz, the wheat Ritz, the original Ritz, the hint of salt Ritz. And I know you're going to know this product when I say it because you've had it. Daryl loves it too. They used to call it ham salad or ham spread, but now they call it sandwich spread. But probably because it's not just ham that's in it.
Right.
But it's, it's got a mayonnaise component to it. I'm telling you, on a Ritz cracker, it is delightful.
I love it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it's an Amish country thing.
Delightful.
But it is special. And it's very unique. So, and it has its own flavor.
Yes.
It's so good.
I don't necessarily want it on a sandwich. Now, I could have it on a sandwich. It's a little...
Maybe a finger sandwich.
Yes. I like it just on a cracker.
Yes.
Just a little carrying vessel like a Ritz.
You know what I was thinking about with Walnut Creek foods right now is... Here's something special we've never talked about is I love the people that work there.
The people that work
at the retail store and truthfully, the people that work in the corporate office run Walnut Creek Foods.
Matt Keeler,
are
wonderful.
Incredible people.
And Peg Beachy, wonderful.
I know. They have an incredible staff.
They do.
So whether you are shopping at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market or you're buying online at Walnut Creek Foods, on the other end of the line or on the other side of the counter, there are some awesome people that are there to take care of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we thank Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market for being part of our podcast family.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about your purpose and living your list.
Live the list.
Yeah. Hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.